can see the viciousness of something that don't want you to go any further. Mm-hmm. Something that wants you right now to go to sleep. Yeah. Man, when you start talking, I got so sleepy. I was all right. That's what you fight. That's flesh. Flesh in covenant with the devil will fight anything God does. It doesn't want you to hear it. That's why I talk so loud and I seem to be so abrasive, because I got to cut through that mess that's trying to fight against everything I'm saying, and I know that. Flesh is a monster, and flesh couches itself in religion so as not to die. Can't you see religion is the bastion where flesh goes not to die, not to be mortified? And they'll tell you, see, you saved, this all right here. This church right here, see, they singing, the preacher squalling, look how he walking benches and everything. The choir, they yelling and shouting and they screaming. And see, you want the church, just like anything else. Omega's just like anything else, it's just church. You want the church, they want the church. Y'all the same thing. It's not the same thing. You know if you're real, that it's not the same thing. Stop kidding yourself. Anything that won't address your flesh and deaden it is not the gospel. The real gospel is going to confront your flesh and put it to death. So what do people do? Not to let their flesh die. Well, see, I'm going to become a Hebrew Israelite, a Jehovah's Witness, a Catholic. What they're doing is dodging the bullets that's being shot at them by the Holy Ghost to kill their flesh. I just go over here with other people of a light, precious faith like me, and we're Hebrew Israelites. See, Price is a black, white man. That's all he is. He got all them folk brainwashed to believe that blue-eyed devil loves them. Now think about that. That's your depiction of God now. Your depiction of God is that he validates your hatred of another person. You know how pitiful that is? These folks are really pitiful. And then I'm the devil. And they go with a lot of internet research to try to prove their point. It's okay, you got research, right? Yeah. Okay, now look. The Bible's not valid, right? The white man wrote it. Yeah. Who wrote your research?
Man.
Only black people.
Man.
Who wrote the research? I got it out of an encyclopedia. Who wrote an encyclopedia? The Bible says the Bible is inspired by God. Holy men spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. It don't take you 5 minutes to realize this book didn't come from this world.
Supernatural.
Because the way that book began to sift through your butt and turn up all the stones and show you, a man didn't write that. Because how does a man know this about me? I'm reading the Bible and
thousands of years ago.
He wrote this 5,000 years ago and told me all about me. How'd he do that?
Man.
Because it's God knowing what you're going to do before you do it. And he wrote it down before you did it to save you from it. So all these folk running around talking about research, and they invalidate the Bible talking about who wrote it. Well, who wrote your research?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you believe that research is valid? Because it aligns with my preconceived notion, and I came in here already with what? Prejudice. What does the word prejudice mean?
Prejudgment.
A prejudgment. See, when people are prejudiced against you, they already say all black guys act like A, B, or C. And you got to be that because I already prejudged you. You came in the room, oh, you're black, so therefore I know you're going to start shooting up the place. And they follow you around the store. You're going to steal at the Korean hair shop. They right behind, yes, may I help you? Yeah, they looking, you want some, oh, over, it's over here. Come and let me walk with you over here. Because all y'all black folks steal my stuff. They've been there 3 years and they've been robbed 27 times. So now they just take for granted that all you blacks are thieves. And they are prejudiced against you. So how are you going to prejudge a white man? My son worked for a corporation. Older white guy told him, he said, you want to get your master's degree? I'll pay for it. I said, what? Hey, I was trying to get, hey, sir. I told him, I said, man, don't get caught up in no racism. Because some white people made a goal that will take you in and love you like you love them.
Yeah.
I found out in the military, I was in a roommate with a lot of different people, black, white, Hispanic. I found out real fast. don't be trying to be with no black folk, man. You know, just, you know, be black.
Yeah.
Some folk walking around trying to wonder, is there more black folks in here? I could care less. You got that kind of identity that you're so conscious of yourself, you got to have other black folks around you. Learn to matriculate through society as you, not appending any race to yourself, so you won't be limited in your own mind. When I got into the military at 19 years old, the old guy, I mean, you talking about a guy they call a redneck from southern Alabama. Man, that guy, I was 19 years old. He had a family, a wife, and three and four kids. He took me in his house like I was his own son. Master Sergeant. Stayed drunk all the time. I'd take him from the NCO club back to his house. He'd be drunk out of him. I had to drive him home. But boy, he'd give me a ride on. Because he didn't care. But if I was prejudiced, I'd think Southern Alabama. Yeah. Possible Klansman, I know. You know. You're going to limit your own identity and your own advancement and what God has for you through prejudice, prejudging somebody without getting to know them. Man, that shackle on your mind is going to undermine everything in your life. Well, I can only marry somebody black since I'm black. You better get it off of you. You better just be around. Because somebody might treat you like $1 million and you just got prejudice in your mind. You got to get delivered so you can live under God's auspices. And then a black and white couple walk down the street. Look at that. All these black women, he going to go and marry a white woman. Like that's some of your business. How that's some of your business? You see how people inject themselves in somebody else's business? Stop being a busybody in other men's affairs. I don't care what race they are. We gotta get out of this. The church world has to get out of this. Fred Price and Kenneth Hagin fell out over race mixing. Didn't want a girl go with no race mixing. I think they call it misogyny. Whereby you can't marry outside of your race. You know, there's a man right now preaching heavy. It was a lady. The other day, a white lady in Texas, I think, killed her two daughters. And the police killed her. I think she looked white, but they said she was a Spaniard. And the guy said the reason why she killed her two daughters was because they were dating black. The daughters were dating black guys. And he said, God has blessed this woman.
Wow.
She served God by executing those girls. Wow. Race mixing is a sin and it's damnable from hell. Wow. And God has received her home victorious for executing those girls. That's how warped your mind can be. As a white man preaching that kind of racial hatred, with people yelling amen through the audience, through the congregation. Murdered her own daughters. Young girls, beautiful girls. The lady was pretty. And then she went and put the gun down when the police arrived and the police gunned her down. Prejudice is a monster. The church is saturated in it. The religious church, not the real one. The false church, excuse me, the false church is a prejudiced church. It's a church that had racial distinctions. It's evil. That's why they talk about the black church, the white church, the Hispanic church, the Oriental church. Man, whenever God gets your mind free from all of that, you'll be free as a bird because you're free to actually live in the kingdom of God. Because in heaven, there's not going to be any races. So you see this now. The breath of life generates your spirit. That's the real you. So what am I telling you? Although we sit here in male and female bodies, the inner man is identical. It's a spirit man. So God has all this around us to actually filter us through it to deliver us. I got to get over the things on the outside to be made whole on the inside. Like I just used Nita as an example. Nita sits here in a female body, but she got an inner man. She got a spirit down in her. The Bible says when God's talking to you, deep calleth unto deep. Spirit talks to spirit. So therefore, I can't get caught up in her breast and her butt and her vagina and all this stuff because that's not her. You can never minister to somebody if I'm just looking at her on the physical. aspect because I'm trying to reach the inner man.
Yeah.
Now here's what happened to you, and you got to avoid this like the plague. Especially when you're a woman dealing with men and authority, because if a guy is talking to you under the inspiration and authority of God, you're going to feel it on the inside of you. It's going to feel like, man, this guy cutting into me. And you can get in the flesh under the gospel and be attracted to the person ministering the gospel if it's a man. That's why you got to know flesh, stop. Especially if you've never been around authority and you've only dealt with weak, emaciated, and feminine men, and finally somebody got some guts to say something like, man, let's go with this guy. Hold it. Relax. Don't let your flesh get you appended to somebody illegally. It's good to respect authority. It's good to have a submissive spirit. But don't become an illegal concubine to some guy preaching the word. Because it can happen to you, I'm telling you. And your mind will start thinking, out of all the guys, this is a dynamic guy here. I'm trying to undermine all that before it happens, because God's going to bring in some heavy hitting guys.
Yeah.
And you'll start having your favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, I like R. Kelly. Well, I prefer, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you got your favorite rapper, your favorite singer. That's flesh. It'll happen to women all the time. That's why preachers have so many concubines. Because he seems to be dynamic and he's charismatic. And the women get enthralled with him. And now he got 30 women in the church and 30 babies by 30 women. Plus his wife. Like he's a Muslim or something. Or with a harem. Because he's perverting and pimping the gift. A lot of guys got gifts that the devil took over and he's using them. Why do you think beautiful girls have babies by Lil Wayne? Because Lil Wayne got a charisma about him. He's a renegade, a rebel. Crazy. They want to get with him because he's on the top of the rap game. And by me having a baby by Lil Wayne, I'm identified with Lil Wayne. It makes me somebody. That's how perverted it is. Birdman is toe up from the floor up, but Birdman got a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's it. So what? Tony Braxton figure. I'm not with Birdman. I'm with the money. See, y'all see Birdman. I see dollar signs. See, that's what's going on. Don't let yourself fall prey to even a godly charisma, which is a gift, because you can become enthralled with the vessels and lose focus on the gift of God. See, the Bible says he gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect you, but they're working on the spirit man on the inside, which becomes very personal. See, that's personal, somebody working on the inside of you, because you're feeling things. You can be made to cry, and emotional releases are happening, and things are lifting off of you, and you come off, and burdens are lifting. You, man, that guy sure lifted that burden off of me. I think I'm gonna love that guy. Say, oh, no, wait. See, now you're going crazy. And there's gonna be some heavy hitting guys gonna come through the arena from here on out. So you gotta have your mind already prefabricated not to get caught up in that flesh. Flesh can hit anybody. You can get a girl in the choir, a beautiful girl singing, and all of a sudden a guy in the congregation, that's my wife. She already married.
Man.
God gonna kill her husband, that's my wife.
Man.
He gonna kill her. I'm gonna pray for God to kill her husband.
Man.
So I can marry her. You can go crazy. You can go crazy in the church.
Yeah.
They'll come in, I will make a better husband than him. Let's kill him. Get rid of him.
Man.
So I can marry him. Flesh. Flesh can get a hold of your mind. And you can do things so crazy that you won't even know what you're doing yourself. You'll lose your mind. Some of y'all done been there before. You didn't have no intention of having sex with this person. But that flesh got a hold of you. And stuff, just feeling this stuff coming over that thing, you know. You ripping your clothes off like a dog, mad dog, crazy. You say, what you doing? You didn't have nobody to bring you to yourself. The Holy Ghost would have checked you, but you didn't have no Holy Ghost out there. So your passions and your flesh, the Bible says, this sin is in the world through these lusts and youthful lusts. He tells a young man to flee from youthful lusts. You got youthful desires. Run, become Joseph, and just get out of there. So I want God to move. I tell you what, you get to moving, them number nine. Get them number nines moving, Jack. Be kicking yourself in the butt running. You know, when you run ahead, you start butt kicking. Butt kick running, you be like this. Butt kick running, you be running so heavy. You got to get out of here, man. Potiphar's wife tried to take you out. Flee, run from youthful lust. Because you're a hormone factory as a young man and a young woman. Don't let that guy touch you, rubbing you all on your back, kissing your neck, and all that, kissing you on the lips. That ain't going to stop right there. Sexual things are intrusive. They advance. See, if you start touching leads to rubbing leads to kissing. Kissing leads to touching leads to unclothing leads to fornicating. Only sex can incorporate all five of your senses. All five of them. That's a heavy hit. And it's a master dopamine producer. It's a pleasure producer. When you engage in sex, you get a massive rush of dopamine. It's like somebody pouring dopamine out of you like a Gatling gun has been loosed in your mind, in your brain. All that dopamine, all that serotonin, all that adrenaline is flowing when you're having sex. And you get that rush and that high, and you have to come down off of it. And guess what the soul gonna do? It's gonna cycle through, and then it's gonna do again. I wanna feel that high again. That's why you feel what you feel when you're having sex. You start looking for that feeling again. You know, even a one night stand just to get that dopamine rush again. It's not the sex you're looking for, it's the dopamine you're looking for. You gotta know that. You don't smoke dope for the dope, you smoke dope for the dopamine. You don't drink liquor for the liquor, you drink the liquor for the pleasure you feel. See, everything is desired to lower inhibitions and make you feel good. The devil is a pleasure prince. That joker is an expert at releasing pleasure inside of your brain to make you feel good. That's why they want to hear smooth things, they want to feel good. The gospel don't make you feel good primarily. The gospel be cutting through you like somebody going through you with a hot knife cutting through butter. But it's good for you. Anything good for you don't necessarily feel good at first. Just like castor oil your grandmama gave you. It wouldn't taste good, but it sure ran the devil out of you. It don't taste good going down, but it's good for you. That's how it is. So you see now, he's after your spirit, according to Genesis chapter 2. He put a spirit in you. He's saving and redeeming your spirit. And then he's sanctifying and cleansing your soul so your body can be able to house him. Save the spirit, sanctify the soul unto holiness. And then you govern your physical body accordingly. You can tell your body what not to do. You can tell your soul what to do and not to do. David said, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." You as a spirit that has power can have dominion over your soul and your body and tell it what to do. You don't have to fornicate. God come to me and say, "I fornicated and couldn't help it." I say, "You're a damnable liar. You could help it. You did exactly what you want to do." People do what they want to do. The governor is your will. You will to do it, and you did it. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. I'll pick up the pace here. Verse 23. Matthew 22, verse 23. Look what he says here. The same day came to him Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." I like Jesus. I like how he answers folk. Like, your question is erroneous. It's silly what you're asking me. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. No gender specificity. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So you see now, he clarifies. In heaven, there'll be no discussion of marriage, because you'll be like the angels, you'll have no genders. You'll have no need to procreate. There ain't gonna be no sex in heaven. And some folk, I don't wanna go then. See, that's crazy. There'll be no sex in hell. Exactly. I used to build house. I had a Hispanic guy tell me that. Man, I will go to hell for women. I can't do without women. I got to have women. I got to have sex, man. If it means me going to hell, I just have to be damned because I can't do it. I said, man, that's pretty rough. You'll be in eternal damnation without sex forever, and you're going to the damnation for sex. Never to have it again. And then you're burning in a lake of fire for it. That's crazy. So you see now, I told you, I'm making the point that your spirit has no gender, and Jesus makes that absolutely clear, that in heaven there'll be no marrying or giving in marriage. You'll be like an angel who has no gender. He's a spirit. You're a spirit. And that's how the real you really, when you extract the real you out of you, you're going to see yourself for what you really are for real for the first time. And you'll find out that beings in heaven are light beings, spirit beings with a body, but it's not the same kind of body. When Jesus went through the transfiguration on the mount, his body was transfigured into a heavenly body, and it was bathed in light. You're going to be a light being, and your body will be basically illuminated. It's going to be shining. And that's how you'll be in heaven, as an illuminated one. So you see now, all of the things we go through in the matrix and the world, trying to fit in, and all of it is just a smoke screen that doesn't matter. People have come through here, spit on this, and went to Hebrew Israelitism. That's almost unbelievable in it, but it happens. Their minds got a bank in their mind, a part of their mind is so ate up with being black and full of hatred that they're going to make God sign off on their hatred and walk with them in their hatred of white people. There is no value to black people being Hebrews. If it were true, it would have no value whatsoever. It would mean absolutely nothing. You can't be saved by that. If you're telling a bunch of unsaved black people they're the real Hebrews, to what advantage is that to them without Jesus? The whole argument is bathed in insanity. And they can't hear not one word I'm saying, because they love self, the flesh, and they're looking for acceptance and identity in this world. That's what makes them not be able to hear it. They haven't left the world yet. They have come here. Some folks have traveled into town thinking they can show me and convince me that that stuff is right. They leave mad and turn on you on the internet. He's teaching a cult. He's in a delusion. He won't listen to. And they always talk about not being able to receive the truth. When they convert one of these young people at the HBCU, I got the truth. They changed their name to Yahudah, Ben Israel, Yahshuwah Yahudahu, and then they put that on the internet. It is a long name for themselves now. They might keep their first name and still call themselves Martha. Martha Yadahu Israel. And that's what they'll put out there. Well, why didn't you get rid of Martha too? Wasn't that a slave name too? You kept that, Paul. It's strange, y'all. We live in a strange place. What is significant about a woman that makes her different from men? The name Eve outlines who she is. The name Eve means life. Women can conceive life. Women can gestate or grow life. Women can birth life. And women can sustain life. Women are basically designed by God to be a field that you sow seed in. she's got, if she's a fertile field, then she'll receive the seed and conceive the life. And then gestate it, grow it. Just like, look at a field out in the country where they plant crops. A fertile field sown with seed, it grows the tree, produces fruit. You pick the fruit off and eat it. And that's why Jesus is called the fruit of Mary's womb. She's a fertile field designed to grow life, conceive the life, grow it, birth it, and then feed it, sustain it. She can breastfeed that baby, and that baby can live off of that mama even after it's outside the womb. So sustaining life, this is the emphasis here. The story of the gospel, if you understand what God is after, is organic. We wrote the book Organic Gospel for this purpose. God rebirths us through the same sequence. Your spirit is a type of a fertile environment where the seed is sown. Remember, the Bible says the sower sows the word. Once you receive it, it catches hold of you and conceives the nature of Christ. Then, through ingesting the word, the Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the word, and you're breastfeeding when you first get saved. That's why it's very detrimental to engage false doctrine when you're still a child is still suckling. You're still just breastfeeding, and somebody rips the nipple out of your mouth and tells you lies. And you stop suckling, and you begin to listen to the lies, and you're dealing with milk with arsenic in it. Because you're a baby, and you can't discern between good and evil. You don't know anything about good and evil. And so you sit there ingesting all this false, fake, dirty stuff, and it's contaminating you. That's why it's detrimental to a person, man, jumping up on that internet. You ever seen that video the young man made about going to heaven? He said a lady was there that was judged for destroying people on the internet. It's scary to watch a person on the internet telling folks all this wrong stuff. And the Bible says it'd be better if you took a millstone and put it around your neck and you were thrown into the ocean before you sit there trying to tell people this misinformed trash and contaminating all these people and doing it with impunity without believing there's no penalty appended to it. You got to pay for that. The Bible says, don't let it be many teachers among you. Why? Seeing that they will receive what? The greater condemnation. When you jump up trying to teach people, man, you're in a dangerous place on that Facebook not knowing what you're talking about, man. Go somewhere and sit down and shut your mouth. Because it takes years for God to format you to teach this thing. You got to go through some ups and downs, some ins and outs, and you got to be hit back and forth a little bit like a ping pong ball to teach this to get it straight in your mind. Don't jump up trying to know so much. Let people know what you can tell them from experience, and that's it. Don't try to be deep in some kind of philosopher or theologian. These folks on the internet have access to Google. So they pasting all these paragraphs from Google as if they're some deep theologian. Anybody can take stuff off the internet. You can get Bible verses from the internet and have whole passages like you know that verbatim, like it's coming out of your mind. See, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 10 through 23, and you quoting it like you know that. That's just something that you had to copy and paste from the internet and put it over here on Facebook, and now you're trying to intersperse your little dictate on it. Man, listen. Facebook is a cursed place. Don't get your information and don't grow in grace from Facebook. You better get your Bible. Get you a concordance, a thesaurus, a dictionary, and study tools, and study to show yourself approved. God will send you the people he wants you to sit up under to be perfected. But you got to have your own study time to actually enhance and to grow in grace like he wants you to. So women are life. Eve's name means life. The story of the gospel is organic. It's grown. Displacement takes place. The old man is displaced by the new as you grow in grace. So that means God is going to hit against what's in your soul that's resisting his growth and expansion in you. That's why you go through deliverances. That's why you go through things. He's coming up against whatever's in his way as that root system and that growth is taking place in you, and he's hitting against something that won't let him expand, and that's when he stops you and he has you deal with this. And you circle right there until you deal with it. You say, I'm obedient. And he's telling you, no, you're a rebel. And he lets you see you're a rebel. No, he does that. Commandments come. And you feel that thing rise up in you. Happens all the times with wives. They swear they free. To that guy telling them that point blank range commandment, and all of a sudden. Oh, go on that. Woo. I think my heart done moved to my stomach. I think my heart beating to my stomach. I feel it's butterflies or something. It's a tuna fork. I can swallow the tuna fork, a bee or something. Because you thought you were for real. You thought in your mind that you were for real. You mentally ascended to being obedient. A woman of God. I'm free from the Jezebel spirit. You know how you fight authority when you got a Jezebel spirit that's religious? You give alternative suggestions. Well, have you thought about a... You say, did you know what I told you? And all of a sudden, you start trembling all over there. Just your knees start shaking. Everything, just your eyebrows shaking. Everything, your follicles and your hair shaking. Just traumatized. Because you thought you were for real. When the commandment comes, sin revives and I die. Because God is showing you, you're not what you think you are. You just think you're there, but you're not there. I keep telling, I warn people about this over and over again. I'm going to do it again. You've never seen the authoritative command structure of church on display. Most folk won't be able to survive it because they mentally ascended to being in the church, but they never seen a warlike church taking on an adversary, and they're going to draw back from it thinking, this can't be right. Them jokers, they're too vicious. They're too set in their way. They won't listen to nothing. They're just on a forced march. But it's not dictatorial. It is a spiritual servitude in these guys. They're serving you even if you can't receive it. See, what happens is you're trying to control how they serve you. You can't control that. You got to accept the servitude and you got to go with the flow if it's real. Most folk have mentally ascended to being a kind of a person that can walk in this, telling them, let's go, I'm ready. Then they're going to fall back. Because they never seen it on display before. They've never been into Normandy with the real crack troops of the 1st Airborne Division. Them guys don't flinch under fire, man. When they go in, the guy say, hit it. Nobody asks why they hit the dirt. When you got rebellion in you, why? Your head blown off. You've never seen the church. You've never seen it. Look at Jakes, look at Osteen, look at Dollar, look at Copeland, look at Myers, George Myers, look at all of them. You've never seen the church. Paula White, Juanita Bynum, Church of God in Christ, all of them. You've never seen the church. You've mentally ascended to be able to walk in a combat unit that's going into World War III against metaphysical beings under command authority, under the captain, under the Lord of hosts, in battle array, coming against his adversaries. Command structure without emotion attached to it. Most people can't walk with an unemotional man because all you've known is an emotional man that you can get to with someone whining and pining and acting like a girl. Folk come on the internet. Guys come on the internet like women. And you tell them point blank range stuff and they get mad talking about you are nothing but a devil, an antichrist, a sorcerer. Because they're not used to command structured answers. They come on the prayer line, a guy on the pine and away and whining. Hey man, strap up your boots, man, and get on the helmet and get all that whining off the phone, man. The prayer line ain't designed for your whining and crying. This is a warfare prayer line. They may have to be restructured to be an intercessory prayer line designed for intercessors. Because you can't have all this stupid stuff on the prayer line. People are too silly to get on there and just pray. They got to have all this sideshow Jezebelian junk going on. Just can't get on there and say a prayer and shut up. So you have to eliminate the debris and the crazy so we can keep focused on the prayer. You got to do what you got to do. That's how bad it is. Folks' flesh are so bad that they got to express it some kind of way. Well, you know, people, everybody want to pray. Freeconferencing.com. Go and get yourself a number and an access code, and anybody can get a free prayer line. Why would you be so caught up in praying on the prayer line when you can pray off of the prayer line? If you want to pray for 3 hours, pray. But you know what's wrong with people? Here's what's wrong with people. Same thing wrong with Facebook can happen to the prayer line. They don't have any life anywhere else. And the only chance they have to express themselves and mean something to somebody is on that prayer line. So I got to always keep talking and saying something, trying to look like something, because I have no life. I'm not saving or ministering to anybody. So the prayer line is my time to be somebody. You know, in a 24-hour day, this little hour on the prayer line, I can have some input and say something like I know something, because you got no life. It's bad when you got no life. Somebody get on there and pray for 5 minutes, it ain't that big of a deal. Because they got a life other places, they're doing other things. A 5-minute prayer on the prayer line is no big deal. But to some people, it's everything. Yeah, all day what I'm going to pray. I done wrote it out. I done typed it out. And, you know, I done rehearsed in a mirror what I'm going to pray. What is wrong with you? It ain't that big of a deal. All this stuff going to go away. This internet stuff and cyberspace stuff, it ain't going to be around. No longevity. The mistake people make is thinking what is shall be. What we're doing right now, we won't be doing this tomorrow. We'll be moving on to higher ground. You got to be ready for the moves of God. Satan, what he did with Eve was he contaminated the field that receives the seed. Then he contaminated the seed bearer. Result, what was he after? He took away the image of God so that he could not reproduce after his own kind. When he contaminated the seed and the field, they can't replicate God. That's what he was after. I got to go through the field to get to the seed bearer. Now, all of his seed from that point on is what? Defiled, contaminated. You're not going to replicate the image of God because the seed bed has been contaminated. Perfect logic. But what he didn't know was this. There was a seed going to come that wasn't from the seed bearer. That's why he stepped outside of Adam's lineage and sent his only begotten son to save, because that's uncontaminated seed. He got a virgin girl who can house the seed and grow it with the seed actually shielded from her bloodstream. See, every woman's bloodstream feeds that baby. Therefore, that umbilical cord is hooked right into that baby, and that baby drawing right off that woman's nutrients. I don't believe Jesus did. I think he grew sanctified, not touched by any contaminating force. He didn't even have semen conceive him. So you know you don't need an egg. Whatever was inside of her, that's a whole new ball game there, buddy. That's a whole nother race of people inside of her growing. This thing here is something else, man, when you actually break it down and understand it. No image of God reproduced with the seed contaminated. Jesus was uncontaminated field, an uncontaminated seed bed. What happens when you're born again? You recycle back to where God started from as you are sanctified. So the women in church become uncontaminated fields. Now, the Bible says you'll be saved through childbearing. Because now you got an uncontaminated seed and seed bed whereby now you can begin to cycle through another kind of a human. They won't be perfect, they won't be born again, but they'll be brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Train them up, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. See, that's the interdiction of God, to get his take on living back, put back into society again. They're not born again, but they can be influenced by righteous parents. Eve was a woman, that was a reflection of Adam, coming out of him. What the Holy Ghost is to the Godhead, women are to humanity and to the family structure. The Holy Ghost is the glorifier of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in turn, glorifies the Father. Women are reflectors of men. When God blew in the breath of life into man, he became a living soul. Satan, through Eve, blew in the breath of death, and man became a dead soul. So Satan's inspiration had the Holy Ghost leave, man became a dead soul. Remember, God breathed in and he became a living soul. Satan blew in and became a dead soul. It's the inspiration of spirits that let you know what's afoot. Proverbs 31 gives instructions to Lemuel. You don't have to turn there. About a virtuous woman. And the Bible talks about how hard it is to find one. But what does 1 Corinthians 11:7 tell us? 1 Corinthians 11:7 says what? The glory of the man is the woman. The glorifier, the one that illuminates the man, is the woman. The spiritual essence of any environment can always be ascertained by monitoring the behavior of the women. You can ascertain any spiritual environment by looking at the women. Go amongst Muslims, the women all covered up, chained up, you know, bowed down, just can't walk around, just all shackled up. That's telling you about those men. They somewhere trying to compensate for their lust by making the women cover up. You can't get rid of your lust because you covered this woman up. You can't be a man by berating and beating down the woman. That's what you're doing. They're trying to be men by beating down the women. That proves you're not a man. Because you can be a man in your own right with an identity in Christ that doesn't have to do it at the expense of anybody else if you're a man. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about the essence, the feminine mystique, that which is mysterious, that's returning to women to make them into women again, to reflect the very nature of God, which is expressed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a helpmeet. He's a helper. He's a raiser of God's children. He's a caretaker. That's what women should be when they walk in their rightful designation as women of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear or respect. Chaste conversation is your innocent, modest, and pure conversation. You behave yourself in an innocent, modest, pure way. Now everybody trying to be a fly girl and a diva and get butt naked everywhere with thong straps roped all between their thighs. Here you are walking around with a hangman's noose on as your underwear, trying to be a demure, chaste woman. What is wrong with you? Slaying men, slaying. Go to your house and you got all these dead men in your basement. How'd they die? We found them hung by thong draws. They was all hanging with thong draws hung to the ceiling, hanging. Slaying with all this crazy junk. Become normal again. What was wrong with you doing all this junk the devil told you to do? He's warping your mind. Looking at the Kardashians and the Braxtons and the Housewives of Atlanta and all this stupid junk, basketball wives and hip-hop wives. And all this is the presentation of whores as if they're normal. And you emulate whores and you look like some kind of a fool, made a fool out of, and talking about, I want to get married. Don't nobody want you. Emulating some old nasty whore off of TV. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the what? The heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you don't honor your wife, respect her, and love her, your prayers will be cut off. You can't berate a woman and put her down as a weaker vessel and think God is going to hear your prayers. They're not going through. So that's the safeguard for a guy. You got to treat her right or else you're cut off from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look, talking about submission here, I want to show you one quick thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves to one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So when somebody backs into that scripture and says, submit yourselves one to another, they'll say, see, both people are supposed to submit. But they didn't keep reading the next two verses that describe the way you submit. The women subject themselves to their husbands, and the men, in verse 25, love their wives and sacrifice themselves up for it as a servant. It's leadership through servanthood. But they'll tell you, see, a man got to submit to a woman too, just like a woman does to a man. That's a lie. Don't take it out of context. Read it in context and get the whole story. Paul Harvey even tells you, you got to know the rest of the story. What is the feminine mystique? Summed up, here's what it is. It's life support. Women are a vessel of life. They can receive the seed. They can conceive from the seed. They can gestate that seed. They can birth that seed and then sustain that seed. A woman should be her whole life should be wrapped around life. Wherever she goes, life should show up. She should bring life to every environment, not death. The devil makes women vessels of death. So she's life support. Women sustain life after it is born. You should be doing everything in your power to sustain babes in Christ and see them develop. You should be a nurturer of life. That's the feminine mystique. The devil took it away in the Garden of Eden. He subdued the life by destroying and contaminating the seed bed and then worked through the seed bed to get to the seed bearer. And if women want to be turned back to God, you got to seek God about becoming a vessel of life again. Let me be an avenue to express life. My words are not death. My attitude is not death. You know, your attitude in an environment as a woman speaks volumes about you. For real. You get to the point where women don't even like to be around women. I tell you, in the world, I don't hang with no women. Women get on my nerves. Because women too, they're too nitpicky and they always in some old cat fight, and that's death. Look how they come on TV. All they do is sit around a cat fight all day. They want to fight each other, brawling like old ballroom women. Death. You got to commit yourself to get back under the yoke of God to become a virtuous woman and a bearer of life. In the church, all the saints that are born again, coming in as babes, should meet women that will nurture them, encourage them, edify them, tell them it's going to be all right. Stop trying to be a man. You're too hard. Ain't nothing worse than an old rusty woman somewhere trying to be a Juanita Bynum preacher, trying to preach like a man, and Paula White trying to be a man. You're not soft enough. You're not feminine. You're not a nurturer of life. Anybody that's a person that works in the garden knows you got a pet plants and flowers and stuff. You got to nurture them. They need tender love and care, TLC. That's the aspect that women bring to church. That's the feminine mystique, the ability to nurture life. It's mysterious that they can always bring life to something. You know, I plant flowers, they'll start dying. My wife will get a hold of them and bring them back to life because she got that kind of touch. Me, I'm trying to, you know, just dig around and pour some water on it, just stomp it or something. I don't know. Time for that, man. But see, you got to have that other aspect along with discipline, the TLC. And now women, full of penis envy, wanting to be a man, are trying to act tough and rough like a man. All you're going to find is an effeminate dude that you can be the man, he'll be the girl, he's going to get irritated after a while and treat you like trash. Because you a man inside, and after a while, he'll hand you the reins. Just, you know, you handle it, you take care of it, you cut the grass, you wash the car. You do everything around the house. It's a broken beam up there, and you find a way to fix it. Get some wood. Carry that wood up the steps and nail it up there. You want to be a man? What has a guy done? He's given it to Hillary. That's abdication. That's what Ahab did with Jezebel. He abdicated. Let her run the kingdom. I'll just sit back up here in the castle with these whores and concubines and lay up all day and drink ambrosia and just live. And the women have become men. Men. Every depiction in society, the hip-hop game and all these women on TV, those are men. Those are not women. Men in stilettos, stomping around, trying to take over everything. It's ugly, man, because you have to lose the feminine mystique. That which really makes you feminine, soft, and what God made you has to be thrown away for you to be a dude. Stop envying what God didn't make you. He put spirits in the vessel he wanted them in, and he, through being born again, he begins to do what? Take you and reformat you to actually have you house that particular vessel like you should. You're a woman in a woman's body, and God has to make you into that. You're not born a woman, you're born a female. God has to make you into a woman. You're not born a man, you're born a male. God has to make you into a man. Because that means restoring the soul. Psalm 1 tells you, Psalm 23 tells you, he restoreth your soul. He says in another place, he brought back that which he took not away. It's the restoration of the soul. Your soul is expressing the other gender because it's contaminated by the devil that brought death into it. Now God is saying, from your spirit, possess your soul again and let your soul line up with female, feminine character again so you'll be normally expressing yourself as a woman. The devil got folk trying to go into seminary trying to be a pastor, trying to take over God's church, wanting to be a man so badly. I'm going to prove to you that I'm just as much of a man as you are. Girl, you ain't even got the right plumbing. Sit down somewhere and stop frustrating the grace of God and go ahead and accept what he made you and embrace it. And that shows that you trust and love God because you embrace what he made you. Because you're telling God you didn't make a mistake. Because if you try to be a man, you're telling God he should have made you a man. He made a mistake. That's what transgenderism is all about. God made a mistake and put me, a man, in a woman's body. He put me, a woman, in a man's body. Heaven is all skewed up and messed up, and God doesn't know what he's doing. He made a mistake and put the wrong gender in this body. No, he didn't. The demons have infiltrated you, and they got to be cast out. And then you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Homosexuality and transgenderism is like any other sin. It has to be repented of, forsaken, and be cleansed from the damage done from the unrighteousness. I don't exalt it above anything else. It's on an equal footing with me. It's sin. That's a nature. It's a genetic makeup. It's what I was made to be. They trying to take over churches and pastor churches and make God accept the fact that I'm a homosexual. Not going to happen. Change. Repent. People have been known to commit suicide when trying to be forced to be. That's what I'm saying. You got to be born again. All that gender training and trying to change gender like a psychologist does, that don't work. You can't change it from the outside in. From the inside, they got a desire to repent and forsake the sin they're committing. Like my son told me, that they said, either, you know, no matter what you do with kids, your kids or anybody else, they won't be born again until they make up their mind for themselves. He said, I really got saved in my room when God came to see me for me. You can talk all day and they'll go to church with you, but they'll never be born again until God comes to visit them. And they're sick of this filthy world and they're looking for something else outside of this. As long as you go to the world looking for what you're looking for, you'll never be born again. Because you have hope only in this world, and you're of all men most miserable. Embrace the feminine mystique. Seek after it. If you know you got problems with this, if you got the lingering elements of whoredoms on you, that's masculine. If you got the lingering elements of trying to be a man on you, that's the devil putting a lesbian spirit on you. The fact of the matter is, when you participate in oral sex with your husband, you're really a lesbian. The devil's working its way out to your manifested lesbianism. Because if you're doing that to your husband, I can assure you, the day will come when he's going to leave you for a man. And you programmed him to want a man by doing what a man does to him. When you let him sodomize you anally, you're letting your husband know that the behind is an appropriate orifice for your sexual desires. And the guy working next to him on the job has got the same behind you do. You trying to tell me, I'm in the delusion telling you to stop doing it, and you are breaking up your own home by performing on your husband what's going to make him a homosexual and leave you with those three kids. And you did it because you wouldn't stop. And you wouldn't listen to what somebody told you to tell you what the devil's doing to you. He's using the marriage bed defiled by you to have your husband take on homosexual appetites and leave you standing there alone because you wouldn't stop doing it to him. Don't blame me. You did it. I didn't break up anybody's home. You breaking up your own home because you won't listen to what I'm telling you. The devil uses those perversions as a training ground to turn you out and turn you over to lesbianism and homosexuality, doing the same things they do and talking about the marriage bed is not defiled. You're in a damned, filthy, defiled marriage bed all day long. And you'll spend a long time talking to me because I ain't going to take it back. You might as well save those posts. Because I'm not insane. I'm not going to let you drive me insane telling me sexual perversion is normal. That's crazy. It's time to seek after what God made all of us. Don't walk away from the feminine mystique. Embrace it. It's what he made you. That's what you're supposed to be. You got to learn to like it by training your soul to accept it. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take this word and quicken it, make it alive in the hearts of the hearers. Bring this thing to pass, God. Raise up the church, sanctified and separated from the contaminating influences of the world. Use the church to magnify yourself and glorify your son. What is truth? Your word is the truth. Perverse spirits, evil spirits, unclean spirits, they can flip and flop around all they want. At the end of the day, let God be true and every man is a liar. Bring it to pass, God. Bring it to pass. Raise up your church. Make it a dynamic church, a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Bring these people alive from the dead. Because you can, I know you will. I believe it. I believe it and receive it. Send men from the east, west, north, and south that you have actually worked on 7,000 strong in Elijah's day that did not bow the knee to Baal. That means they kept their masculinity intact. That's what you were telling them. I got 7,000 men and women, men who remain masculine and women who remain feminine. They didn't bow the knee to Baal. God, wherever you got these folk, hide now. Bring them out of the darkness into the light. Let them amalgamate, Let them come together and coalesce around this standard that we've raised and raise up the ministry. Raise up Dunamis Tabernacle as a shining light on top of a hill, drawing those that would be saved. Do it, God. Do it, God, in Jesus' name. We accept that you've done it, and we receive whatever you've done for us and given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, by way of the internet in here, if you're not saved, if you know you're not saved, you're going to hell. But I found that the threat of hell is not enough to get somebody saved. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Folk won't get saved because they're going to hell. They get saved because they know they need a Savior.
Yeah.
See, it's not a negative thing to get saved. Negative things don't get people saved. When you're in the ocean, in 30 feet of water drowning, you need a Savior. See, from your point of view. See, I don't have to drive by and say, you know what, you need a Savior. I know I need a Savior because I'm drowning. Drowning folks need a Savior. Folks that ain't drowning don't need no Savior. And you can't convince them to receive a Savior because I ain't drowning. So all God's going to do with somebody is let that water get deeper and let those sharks swim closer until you cry out and say, you know what, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Because I'm so messed up and so far away from shore that can't nobody get a hold of me.
Yeah.
And your life will continue to deteriorate until you cry out and tell God, I'm through fighting you. I need a Savior. By way of the internet and here, anybody not saved, you come up here, we'll pray the prayer of faith for you to receive the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior and be born again. I can't save you. Only Jesus can save you, based on your willful choice to receive him as your Savior. Anybody by way of the internet, if you're not saved, stand where you are and we'll pray for you to be saved. Anybody here that's damned and going to hell, we'll pray for you to be saved and have your life turn 180 degrees around. Religion and church ain't saving nobody. Sitting up in that mess you've been calling church didn't save you one inch. You're just a damned church attendee. That's it. Maximum potential. I'm not going out of here pretending I'm saved. I'm kidding myself. I got to know that I know that I know before I draw that last breath. Man, I've been born again and I've been saved. And I'm going to make my calling and election sure. Anybody still damned wanting to be saved, we'll pray for you. By way of the internet, if you stand where you are, we'll pray for you. Pray this prayer with me, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm lost. My life looks like hell. I live through hell, torment and anguish, going nowhere, no destination, no future. I'm asking you, God, to intervene in my life and save my soul. Bring my spirit back alive, and then from my spirit orchestrate whatever force is necessary to take my soul and captivate it and become Lord of my life. Give me the Holy Ghost so I have power to live this life. I'm not fighting you, God. I'm not running from you. I want nothing from this world. Save my soul. Renew my soul. Restore my soul. Justify me. Quicken me. Bring me alive from the dead. I want to be saved. I believe you died for me. You resurrected to save me. I believe you give me the Holy Ghost. I believe you are God Almighty. And that you, Jesus, are able to save my soul. I commit everything to you. I take it all off of me. I'm casting my cares on you. Do whatever is necessary, God, to bring me back alive from the dead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Remember, y'all, August 26th through the 28th, you guys, get to the Facebook site, Omega Facebook page, and you'll see the registration information there, how you contact Rashid to let them know you're coming. We'll have the rest of the information coming at you probably this week about how you have to register for the hotel. Food and all of that is on you this time. You just handle your own food and all that stuff, but we'll get the registration put together for the hotel as we go away for a couple of days to get this thing aligned with a proactive approach to doing what we got to do. Not looking for the masses, because the masses are bound. Jesus took 12 guys and destroyed the world. We don't have time to keep fooling around with people on the periphery. We don't have time to keep talking about useless talk. We don't want to hear about your problems. We don't hear about this stuff on the outskirts of town. Somebody's got to do something that's tangible, reasonable, and real. Folks are tired of listening to folks talk, man. They don't want to hear no more guys talk. Ain't nothing worse than a talking old guy. Shut up. I'm about to hear you talk, man. Do something. Put up or shut up. That's where we're at. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. Write the words Dunamis Tabernacle in the comment section. Prayer line every night. Tonight also, 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. See you Wednesday on Bible study back here, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock a.m. It's time to get rolling, man. We can't sit here and let this freight train come down the tracks at us. Watch the government and the Defense Department turn these guys in the military into little mush-mouth girls. Man, somebody's got to make a stand. I'm tired of this. I can't look at this anymore. It's time to move and let God be God and every man be a liar. See you back here next week. Be blessed. Have a good week.